Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. It's your favorite part of the Who Would Win show. It's Ray. Anyway, Who Would Win show has a Patreon, and if you'd like to check it out, you can find it at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Join in if you'd like to vote for future characters, talk to the infamous boardroom, and catch videos you can only find on Patreon, like outtakes or our bonus segments, Thunderdome, and The Third Degree. You can even join for free and get a heads up on our next battle before everyone else. If that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, just go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and take your place in the conversation. Now, I got a battle to go win. I'll see you Rainiacs on the other side. Sitting on his mound of treasure, Smaug seems very pleased with himself, realizing that every army that has come for him has been quickly destroyed. He wonders out loud if there exists a challenge that's left for him. It is then that the side wall of the mountain tears open with a powerful blast as the Decepticon Devastator storms inside. Weapons raised and out for destruction, Smaug wastes no time responding to his new and immediate threat. And when the fire gets hot, we will all see who is left standing. It's Transformer versus Dragon. It's Dilly versus Tolkien. It's Devastator versus Smaug. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stekanis. In today's episode, we have an epic battle of titanic proportions to open up season 7 of the Who Would Win show. In one corner, you have Smaug, a cunning, gold-obsessed dragon who once terrorized the dwarf kingdom beneath a lonely mountain with his immense power and fiery arrogance. In the other corner, you have the Devastator, the fearsome combined form of the Decepticon Constructicons, known for his massive size, raw destructive force, and relentless aggression. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed, and according to the internet, there was only one mention of this battle 10 years ago, but it never even got discussed, really. It was just two pictures of each combatant with a versus thing between them, and this never was even talked about in terms of coming to a decisive conclusion, but all of that changes today. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I see us sitting here in season 7, the pivotal season of the Who Would Win show. This is where we bring it home, or we bring it home. I don't even know what that means. What I'm trying to say is we start big. Last year, we opened season 6 with Worldbreaker Hulk versus Godzilla Earth. And there was a weird decision on that one. I expect another weird decision based on, I shouldn't say that out loud because I could be fired. The point I'm trying to make in all of this is we're going big this season. You might have noticed we brought back the old theme music after much fan suggestion, some of it loud, some of it louder. We're bringing it back to the old school days. Season 7 is going to be the most monumental season in Who Would Win show history.
We're definitely pulling out all the stops for season 7. But look, Ray, we actually have some business to discuss about the show. Just to remind the Legion of Audience, I was the champion of season 6, Ray, in case you forgot. But somehow,
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing that happened. Somehow, I also, won the magical 4 matches in a row, which means, I get to decide the opponent and quite possibly the entire matchup for an upcoming episode of the Who Would Win show, depending on how persuasive I can be with the Who Would Win board of directors. I've come up with something spectacular, by the way, a matchup that Race to Canis hates more than anything. Ray, you know what I'm talking about. A matchup that may change.
Stop it.
Yes, we are.
You get to pick a character. You don't get to pick both characters. It's never been that way before.
Interesting, because the Who Would Win board of directors and the production group actually think otherwise, because I think I'm going to get my way. This very matchup, I'm just going to say it right now. This matchup is going to blow everyone's mind. Here's what I'm thinking. It's something that today's judge is absolutely going to love when they find out what it is. So talking about that judge, making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's the host of the Brentfist podcast with Brent Pope. It's the executive VP of Who Would Win. It's the star of film and television. It's Brent Pope. Brent, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Hello, 2025. Or 2025.
Hello, good, sir.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on again. As you know, though, you have no choice. I come on when I want to.
No, yeah, there's something before we go any further. We made a mistake in the year in review show, Brent Pope, and we've been asked for your comment about this. We played your voicemail. We got a little conflicted because we were told, play this live, on air, unedited, uncensored. And then midway through the message to the audience, to the awkward allies out there and the Rainiacs, you said, okay, don't put this part in, after we were already playing it live. So we couldn't stop it. And you had something disparaging to say about another judge, Delvin Cox. Can you address this at all? It's been very controversial.
I will just say that it was supposed to be said in private, but so do I regret that it came out in public? Not at all. Delvin Cox knows how I feel about his, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good thing to call him, but there is nothing. He's a boring guy. Thank goodness. Whoa. He has the Who Would Win show to have him on every once in a while, and his podcast that he had me on once and never again. You know, maybe if he had me on his podcast again, I'd have a different opinion of him.
It's interesting because I've been on his podcast several times, as has James Gavsey.
Yeah, great time.
I rest my case.
You know, I've been on a lot of podcasts where I get interviewed about, like, you know, acting, performances, podcasts. And I'll say right now, Delvin Cox is easily the most comfortable, intellectual host I've ever been on in a one-on-one interview situation.
You're right. He is boring.
Wow. I'm not sure who's burying who here. Listen, Brent Pope, your executive VP, Holiness. You do so much great stuff. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, what you've been up to.
A lot of projects that I can't talk about. Unfortunately, you know how that goes, but
I get it. We're not worthy. That's okay.
Got some voiceovers. Not that you're not worthy. It's just, you know, you sign NDAs and I don't want to get sued. Speaking of which, if I violate an NDA with Delvin Cox, then Delvin is a wonderful person with the great charisma.
All of you guys know I signed an NDA over the holiday season, not doing anything. I signed it.
Good one, Ray. 1 point for Ray. Let me give Ray one point right
that's
there.
That's the whole point. Yeah. That's fantastic. Way to start off season 7, Ray. All right, so tell us about the Brentfist podcast with Brent Pope.
Brentfist
that is something.
Brent Pope.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, quickly, though. We want to get to the battle.
It's been going on for a while. You know, you guys have both been on the show. Do I regret having you both on the show? Maybe. Maybe not. You guys had some of the biggest numbers of the show. The fans of Who Win came over. You know, I appreciate that. And I think that shows the power that you guys both bring. So I'm ready to see what kind of power you guys have and charisma and arguments in 2025. Can you believe it?
All right. I can, and I will, and I shall. That's all I got to say about that. Look, this season's going to be insane, and let's get this party started the right way. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Hasbro, the Transformer who's not just a one-robot wrecking crew, he's also a one robot building crew, Devastator. I mean, that's handy. And representing the Lord of the Rings saga, the dragon who thankfully isn't a problem in LA anymore since those environmental regulations were enacted, Smaug.
Can you do me a favor? Can you say Devastator that same way one more time?
Devastator.
Oh my God. It's like velvet. All right, well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win Show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. Now, here's the thing. Remember, if we get a 5-star review, there's a very good chance that Race to Canis may read them on the show, possibly, potentially, maybe, but there's still a good chance.
You know, and I'll say right now, hey, it's 2025. Let's do it. We just got a brand new 5-star review, and I believe it's worth saying. Holy cow. Revenge match, and it cuts off. I don't know. Thank you, RCK underscore Navigator. Gave us this 5-star review on Christmas Day, 2024. That's a real fan. This is my favorite podcast. Ray is hilarious when he loses. Laughing face. Well, that's not very appropriate. Please do a revenge match of Yakko, Wakko, and Dot from Animaniacs versus Apocalypse. Now, that's a battle.
That's a great idea.
Revenge for Freakazoid. If not, then please use the Warner Trio in some battle. You know what? Maybe. I don't hate that idea.
Those are excellent. All right. Let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Smog.
Smog, or Smaug, as they say in the movies, is a fire drake antagonist in the Tolkien universe. He was created by J.R.R. Tolkien and first appeared in the novel The Hobbit back in 1937, ladies and gentlemen. In the movies, Smaug was, of course, played by Benedict Cumberbatch. Today, I'll be using the movie version of Smaug with a little bit of the books to fill out some of that backstory, some of the extra details in there. I think that's an appropriate way to go. Rich, vain, and devious, Smaug the dragon heard of a hoard of vast wealth in the dwarf kingdom of Erebor. So Smaug showed up out of nowhere, ran all the dwarves off, and proceeded to hole up on that vast pile of treasure inside of their mountain stronghold. Now, in the novel, Bilbo Baggins, Gandalf, and a bunch of dwarfs take on a quest to get over there and take him out. And I can't help but think in the year 2025 that there might be a greater message to the story of a being hoarding vast quantities of wealth and how it would negatively impact the rest of the world around him. Hold on, I'm getting word from our producers. Hold on. I'm told that, no, it's just a fantasy story about a magical creature. Woof! Grateful for that. Fun fact, with the live-action Hobbit movies, it seems like it was destined for Benedict Cumberbatch to play Smaug in voice and mocap, and I was hoping for a cool list of other names of actors considered to put here, but there really weren't any. That said, though, through my research, I found out that at one point in casting, the role of Bilbo Baggins was considered for Shia LaBeouf. Now, I don't know why he was considered. I don't know for how long he was considered, but I do know that for one glorious moment in time, we could have had that guy from the GIFs as our Bilbo Baggins, and that would have made for a considerably different movie. And somehow that is Smog.
I mean, out of all of that, I just really like that expression, heard of a hoard.
Yes.
Heard of a hoard.
Yeah,
say that five
writer.
Times really fast. That's kind of
writer,
that's
it
crazy.
Turns out.
That's amazing. All right, here are the facts for Devastator. Now, Devastator is the colossal destructive combiner formed by the 6 Constructicons, Scrapper, Hook, Bone Crusher, Longhaul, Mixmaster, and Scavenger, each of whom merges to create one of the most formidable Decepticons in the Transformers universe. Towering over friend and foe alike, Devastator is defined by raw power and blind rage, often smashing through obstacles without any hint of strategy. He has been a mainstay within the Decepticon ranks in various Transformers media, consistently portrayed as both a siege engine and a symbol of pure destructive force. Twitter especially, X I should say, Facebook too. Here's the deal, the version I'm going to go with, you know me by now, I'm going with the 1980s original G1 version of Devastator. Gotta stay true to the classics and all of this. All right, now Devastator first appeared, of course, the original Transformers cartoon episode called Heavy Metal War, which aired on December 15th, 1984. The character was jointly created by Hasbro, Marvel Productions, and the Japanese toy company Takara, who all collaborated on the larger Transformers brand. Subsequent comic adaptations and animated series refined Devastator's storyline, but the fundamental concept remained the same. He's an awe-inspiring fusion of engineering prowess and Decepticon aggression. You gotta love it. And here's an interesting fact about Devastator. Did you know that there's a very unique feature of Devastator that separates him from other combiners in the Transformers universe? It's true. The Transformers universe has many combiner types, ranging from the aerial bots, the Stunticons, and to the Combaticons, to name a few. But what makes Devastator very unique is that unlike all the other combiners that need five Transformers, Devastator is made up of six Constructicons. Why six, you may ask? Well, another piece of Devastator was added that was overlooked by many, which was the lower waist. That's right, the no-no danger zone was added as a piece to Devastator. And which of the Constructicons was used for this key piece? It was none other than Long Haul. The 80s, am I right? Crazy. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Brent, do you have any questions before we get started?
Maybe one question and also one statement. Long Haul, I mean, thank you. Thank you, 1980s. That's pretty great. Ray, you mentioned you were going to use the movie version and then with parts of the book. Does that mean you're using all of the books and the movie together?
Basically, yeah. Look, a lot of it's very, very similar. A lot of it's very much this. They're trying to be as faithful as they can. So there are some parts in the books that they couldn't say in the movie, but I still feel would probably apply to this same character.
Got you. And you're good with that, James, with him kind of putting those two amalgamations together and like, as long as you're okay with it, James.
Yeah, absolutely not. I'll be using the Superman version of Devastator from the Marvel Universe where he intersects with Thor's hammer and the Odin Force, but only when Thanos is infinite. Yes, I'm absolutely fine with it.
Oh,
let
please
Ray do this. I'm up for the challenge.
Look, Brent Pope, just consider all the book stuff to be deleted scenes and I'm sure you'll be on board with it.
Ray, you've almost won already. All right.
Ooh, I like where this is going. All right, Ray, do your thing. Hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Smaug the Dragon. We're just going to talk about how massive he is in size. Look, the movie version of Smaug, he's roughly 427 meters long. He's gigantic. Devastator, on the other hand, is about 16 meters tall, 50 feet tall about. 427 meters is like a lot. I can't do math, but it's a lot more than 16, which means despite the fact that Devastator is a large sized transformer, Smaug is so much bigger than Devastator is at the end of the day. And let's face it, size equals strength a lot of the times, but it also matters for durability. You know, what exactly is an ant going to do to me, right? That's the entire point. Also, there's armor. We know Devastator has his transformer armor, and that's great. But Smaug is not just like made of flesh and that's it. He has an armor plating of iron scales and hard gems mixed together. One thing I know from watching a lot of cartoons is what happens when a laser hits a gem or some other shiny, shimmery, mirror-like surface. Often, more often than not, that laser attack bounces off of the gems. So therefore, I think if we've seen Sonic 3 and we've seen the reflective suits that the two Robotnik characters have as they dance through the laser beams in the greatest scene, I'll say it, in cinematic history, all those lasers bounce off of them. That's what will happen to all of the ranged attacks of Devastator when he tries to hit Smaug. Let's face it, we've seen arrows just bounce off of Smaug effortlessly. He doesn't even really notice them. Smaug himself has said that no blade could pierce his armor. So how is Devastator even going to bring down Smaug, right? Because Smaug flies. To my understanding and knowledge, I have not seen an example of Devastator flying off the ground. He is a land-based transformer, which is interesting because usually all the Decepticons can fly. But Smaug flies, and he doesn't just fly. He flies silently. He's like a stealth bomber. You can't just locate him immediately because he's so agile in the air that he cuts the wind in a way he makes no sound whatsoever. And also, his flying is powerful. He flew nearby houses, which caused them to shake and creak and make hurricane-like winds around him just by going through the air. He's going to create an environment that Devastator is not going to, it's just not going to be good for him. There's some football teams have a hard time. The Miami Dolphins have a hard time playing when it gets cold. Devastator's going to have a hard time fighting an aerial creature who is changing the weather around him. It's not going to be a comfortable fight for him. And not just that in the movie. durability wise, Smaug got coated in molten gold. A statue got melted on top of him. He fell under the current of molten gold, and it just made him mad. He got out of it and just left. He said, I don't want to even deal with this right now. He wasn't really hurt. It just annoyed him. So I will ask the question again, how does Devastator bring him down? I don't think he does. And that's my point number one.
Okay, a few things to push back on. First of all, number one, Smaug is 427 feet long, not 427 meters long. Just a small little correction there. The armor plating, yeah, I guess that works great against that kind of medieval stuff that he's facing, arrows, maybe siege warfare kind of stuff. But there's no evidence that lasers bounce off of Smaug's scales. I mean, we don't see actually any like technological powered lasers being shot at Smaug, whatever you want to pronounce his name as, actually happening. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. We do know that some scales did come off. So that means they are, you know, they're not completely impervious to attack. That's just a fun thing to think about. Devastator deals with flying opponents all the time, by the way. I don't think a big flyer like that's really going to throw him that much. And Devastator is much bigger than what, Ray, you're talking about. I'll get into that, my point number one or two. And Molten Gold, yeah, that's pretty cool. Smaug tanked that. I wonder if Devastator has anything that's insanely more powerful than Molten Gold as an attack. Oh, that's right. He's got lots of them. Now, let me get to my point number one. Let's take a quick yet kind of thorough look at Devastator's most impressive, physical capabilities. I think this is a really cool way to just kind of see what he has to offer to this fight, just in the pure physicality sense. Now, he's got what I call towering super strength. When the six constructive cons combine, they've got enough raw power. They level fortresses. An episode called Heavy Metal War I talked about before, Devastator literally picked up and easily threw the Dinobots, like each and every one of them around, showing off strength that really few Transformers can match. Look, Optimus Prime was listed as being able to lift between 2,000 to 10,000 tons. I'm talking about G1 Optimus Prime from the same continuity. And Devastator is at least twice as strong as Optimus Prime, probably many times more than that, but at least twice as strong as Optimus Prime. He's got crazy durability. He literally soaks up blaster fire and missiles like it's nothing. During the siege of Autobot City in the iconic 1986 Transformers movie, Devastator marched through laser fire like it was nothing. He tore the city's walls apart until reinforcements finally forced him back. And even that didn't really stop him for long. We're talking about Autobot City with a lot of reinforcements, not some town or mountain in the time of, Lord of the Rings. He's also got that building size height and reach. Look, he is absolutely colossal. In an episode called City of Steel, Devastator is like overshadowing the New York skyline. He's grabbing Autobots off high rises and ripping structures apart. So look, I know they weren't always good in their continuity in the G1 series, but there's one episode with Devastator literally holding Optimus Prime in one hand and crushing him. So it's safe to say he's King Kong sized in comparison to Optimus Prime. And Optimus Prime is almost 30 feet tall. I'm pretty sure King Kong's at least four times bigger than a person. So at 30 times 400, I don't know, but he's much bigger than what, Ray, you're talking about. He's also got a knack for ripping through reinforced structures like it's nothing. He's punching through thick steel and concrete fortifications with ease. He's flattening entire walls of cities in seconds. This is just something, if he sees a building, he just loves smashing it. He's got monster grips, crushing blows. His fists are the size of large vehicles. It's so cool. One solid hit's going to scatter a whole group of Autobots. We saw it a whole bunch of times. In an episode called Triple Takeover, just one devastating slam to the ground sent a whole group of Autobots sprawling in the air. He creates many earthquakes when he smashes the ground. That's how strong he is. He's also a demolition expert's know-how expert, or really just a demolition expert. So when he comes together, each Constructicon is a master builder, but Devastator is not. His intelligence isn't increased. It's kind of decreased to a point where it's kind of like, lowest common denominator comes together. But there's one thing that's really cool. There's some twisted expertise that remains because he can pick and figure out a point on whatever he's hitting and knows how to instantly demolish it. And he's got this weird knack where he finds the weakest point of whatever he's going for. And that's why he can tear stuff apart so easily. It's not just because he's smashing it. It's because he uses his expertise, looks at his opponent and says, here's your weakest spot. I'm hitting you there. And that's why he's got such a high win percentage. This is really cool, especially when it comes to fighting. He's got also absolute tunnel vision. Look, he's a rampaging force of nature. He locks on a target. He just keeps smashing. He doesn't stop until he gets the job done. That's Devastator in a nutshell. An insane combination of unstoppable strength, enormous size, thick armor. He's kind of the Transformers version of the Hulk. All of that is my point number one.
Look, I love Devastator. He's a very fun character from the Transformers universe. But you talk about his ability to pinpoint different spots, whatever. Look, we all know Smog has the one weakness of one of his, like, scales was off, and that's why he was able to get taken down in the movie, because he didn't know about it. But the thing is, he let Bilbo Baggins get in close to him, and Bilbo Baggins noticed it, told other people, so they all knew what to look for. Devastator doesn't have the benefit of outside interference in this battle, telling him where it's going to be. And let's keep it real. Smog is going to be flying way high up above. And he's, when show me an example of Devastator picking off a pinpoint location like that on a creature that's flying well above him at hypersonic speeds. I don't think you're going to be able to, because it never happened. And you're right. Devastator's intelligence drops when he forms the giant Devastator robot from the six Constructicons. That's going to play into one of my later points, so just keep that in mind.
All good stuff. This is already a fun battle, but that doesn't matter, because let's see what our judge has to say. Executive VP Brent Pope, you've heard one point from both myself and Ray. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
My head so far is maybe leaning towards Smaug. The fact that Smaug can fly and that Devastator is a demolitions expert that cannot fly just seems like it's going to be hard for him to get the demolitions up to Smaug. If he can get it up to Smaug, if he can show me a way he's going to be up there, or that he'll force Smaug to come down to him, then we've got something. But for right now, I'm going to have to say that Smaug has a small lead.
Interesting start to this battle. Let's see how this goes. Stay tuned for point number two.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us to your point number two.
Point number two for Smog. I'm going to talk a little bit about his power and his offense, because I think we talked a little bit about defense. I don't think Devastator can land the hit that he needs, quite honestly, given the two combatants. But let's talk about some of the ways that Smog could in fact win, because in the Tolkien universe, dragons are ridiculously powerful. In most universes, dragons are ridiculously powerful, but in the Tolkien universe, even more so. And Smog is what's known as like an elder dragon. So he's one of the last of the Elder Dragons, which means as powerful as a normal dragon would be, Smog is that much stronger. You know, think about it in terms of the Elder Scrolls Skyrim. If you're familiar with that, Judge Brent Pope, and you think about the difference between a standard dragon you would meet at any level and then the endgame Alduin dragon that you would meet at the end, there's a difference in power spike between those two. That's who Smog is, the one at the end of the story. In fact, when he dies in the story, he thrashes about in his death throes, destroy an entire town. He's going down and he's still ripping everybody else out around him, right? Just laughing in the face of Bilbo Baggins, knocks him over. This is how ridiculously powerful his breath is without even getting into the offensive capabilities of it. He destroyed a house by flicking his tail into it, dropped an entire building that way. So this is a guy with massive strength and power. And James, you're right. It was 427 feet of Smog's length, not meters. I can't believe I got that wrong. And darn you for fact-checking me. The point I'm trying to make here is he's still considerably larger than Devastator, even with that information. That puts them at a difference between 50 feet tall versus 427 feet long. That's ridiculous. That is a much bigger, more powerful character. And the dragons in the Tolkien universe, each one of them is basically a 100-tonner, like we would say in Marvel, how they go to 100-ton power like the Hulk, but then they kind of stop measuring at that point because you could just push way beyond it. Smaug goes well beyond the 100-tonner limit as well. But let's talk about his fire breath, because the fire breath is how I absolutely see Devastator finally getting dropped. They say it's brighter and it's hotter than any fireworks. That's how it's described in the books. Just being near Smaug when he breathes fire almost kills Bilbo. Bilbo Baggins didn't get hit by the fire. He was just around an area where the fire was happening, and it was so hot it almost took him out right there. Outrageous. He wrecked the city of Lake Town. He went in and did like a run on it. They watered all the roofs of all the cottages. They tried to do everything in their power to suppress the fire, and he still burned that thing all the way down to the ground. When a Transformer in the Transformers universe deals with massive amounts of heat, that can be a big problem for Transformers in the G1 universe, because their joints, their metal can start melting and fusing together, can start hindering their ability to transform, and it can absolutely affect their systems that run on the inside, affecting their memory, affecting their ability to make decisions. Extreme heat is a good way to take down a Transformer, and we are bringing a Heat Master who can do it from a distance and can do it without putting himself in arm's reach. That itself is massive, and that is my point number two.
So this is what I love is, you know, you take like a Godzilla-sized or even bigger Godzilla-sized creature, give them flying ability, give them, you know, offensive ability, and I love the kind of where this battle goes. Now, here's the big thing. There's not a lot I can disagree with what you just said, Ray, especially when you say the fire is hotter than any high hot firework you may have. And let's just imagine it's much harder than fireworks. But here is the issue. The Constructicons actually deal with fire breath and high levels of heat, because that's what they have to do. They make stuff. They got to melt stuff down. They're constructed to be heat resistant. In one episode during the, I think it was season two of the original series, they all were kind of pushed into lava. Well, they were all separated as, you know, individual Constructicons, and they all tanked being in lava and survived it no problem. On top of that is Devastator. They get attacked by, I think it's either Sludge or Snarl, one of the two, maybe both, that shoot out this insane fire breath attack at them at point blank range, and they tank it no problem. And on top of that as well, as I'll mention, you know, they also have weapons that really play into the whole heat aspect of things. So when it comes to heat, that doesn't, first of all, it doesn't only not affect them, but they actually know how to master it and use that as a weapon themselves. And for my point number two, let's talk about Devastator's weapons and his fighting ability. Now, first weapon I want to talk about, he's got this massive energy rifle. It's this giant blaster. It's officially referred to as a solar energy rifle. Can fire powerful energy blasts capable of melting, you know, high-grade Cybertronian steel, sending entire squads of Autobots running for cover. It's stated to be over 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit and can be shot from up to 6 kilometers away. That's insanely long range, and also a range that Smaug can't duplicate. Range fighting is going to be a big deal. Brent Pope, you said, how is Devastator going to take the fight to Smaug if he can't fly? This is one of the ways he does it. He's also got a forearm drill for up-close combat. Devastator can transform, I guess it's part of his arm, into a drill, or use what I guess was Bone Crusher, one of the Constructicons, his heavy shovel assembly, and turn into what something, you know, my new catchphrase, this really cool object used for close-range pummeling. Just looks like a hammer you can pummel things with. In an episode called City of Steel, we see him tear through reinforced structures, just turning a drilling tool into a demolition device. It's not delicate, but it works great for smashing any obstacles and opponents in his way. Wonder how that would do against Smaug scales. Pretty well, I'd imagine. He's also got these eye beams he shoots from his, I guess it's visor, whatever you want to call it. So he can shoot focus beams from that red visor. This just melts targets, blows them apart at mid-range. It's crazy. During the attack on Autobot City in the Transformers, the movie, again, love that movie, these optic blasts add an extra layer of chaos to the whole thing. This was injuring Autobots badly with a single blast, slicing through barricades. Consider this a mid-range attack, which actually matches the longest range attack that Smaug has. He's got this cool shoulder mounted cannon as well. That fires off another pulse of energy. This adds another angle of a heavy artillery. That's perfect for raining down blasts on airborne Autobots, which he faces quite a bit. Skylinks, the aerial bots. He's fought, you know, many, many types of really great flyers and all that kind of good stuff. And again, with a shoulder mounted cannon, this is something Smog's not going to be ready for. He's not ready for that kind of high-powered artillery coming at him, you know, with that type of firepower. See, that's the thing. Devastator is actually really well designed for taking on aerial opponents who've got great maneuverability and are super durable. Smog is really kind of a perfect opponent for him, but there's so much more. See, Devastator is some great weapon, sure, but this is the cool part. He's also a really good fighter, as in really good. All you have to do is go back to that Transformers the movie from the 80s. Kids at home, if you want to know what family-friendly kickassery really looks like,
boy,
watch that movie. It is so good. Anyway, one epic scene, just as Devastator is, I don't know what the right term, devastating Autobot City on planet Earth, Optimus Prime gives the order to the Dinobots to destroy Devastator. Not fight him, not stop him, destroy Devastator. It is awesome. So all four of the Dinobots, they jump out of their ship high up in the air, launch themselves at Devastator heroically, and here's how this fight goes down. Pinpointing Grimlock's location in high speed, as Ray was stating Devastator couldn't do, Devastator does a perfectly timed sidekick to the gut of Grimlock before Grimlock hits the ground. That's right, his timing was so freaking good, he kicked his opponent in midair, Bruce Lee style, which then took Grimlock, the Tyrannosaurus, out of the fight. Then Sludge, you know, the Brontosaurus, runs at Devastator, who then Devastator double axe handles him in the back, Captain Kirk style, picks him up overhead for a standing overhead press backbreaker, which is crazy, because when do you ever see a Brontosaurus put into a backbreaker? I guess right there. Now, as he's doing this, Snarl, the Triceratops, seizes an opportunity, rams into Devastator, and actually knocks him down, runs away, and that may have slowed him down for a second, but that's nothing, because all that does, as Swoop, the Pterodactyl, comes in and tries to shoot him with his insanely powerful fiery breath, Devastator grabs some debris nearby and smashes him with it, knocking him out of the fight. This was a combination, I gotta tell you, a Bruce Lee style fighting, pro wrestling, and Rambo-esque improvised 80s kickassery. Did I mention that he put a Brontosaurus in a backbreaker? Because that's something right there. As much as y'all love Smog as a character, he's never faced anything with the weaponry or 80s style fighting ability of Devastator. All that's my point number two.
I mean, they have like big trolls and ants and other larger creatures that Smog never seems to have any trouble with in their universe. So it's larger characters are not exactly off the table. But James, to what you said a lot right there, and only some of it made sense. There is a big difference between a character using a welding torch and having, you know, a power against heat and getting roasted in the hottest oven physically possible. Have you ever put your iPhone in the microwave? It does not end well for anybody involved. Those Dinobot torch weapons you were referring to are minuscule. They may as well be a cricket lighter compared to what Smog's fire size looks like, okay? And you mentioned a lot of the attacks. Look at all those close-up weapons. Even your example of the people falling from space. Devastator didn't shoot at any of them, did he? You try to bring up the idea that he could, but when given the opportunity to have people landing on him from space, he didn't shoot any of them. He did up-close attacks. He really is best at up-close attacks, and you just made the case for me.
Did I mention he put a Brontosaurus in a backbreaker?
It was just awesome. No, I'm not going to lie. That was my favorite part.
Yeah. If only we could return to that cinematic glory. All right, listen. All that's great, but we are at the turning point. Brent, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Well, that was an interesting point, especially from James, how that, because I knew about Smaug with his fire breath, so I kind of expected that from Ray, of course. The beatdown that the Devastator gave to the Dinobots, it's impressive. I'm still not sure how they're going to exactly get to there, but the fact that you had a Brontosaurus Backbreaker, which was also the name of my ska band in high school, Brontosaurus Backbreaker. I'm going to say that we are back to even. I just in this, you know, I'm going to want to see, as always, what's the story? Tell me the story of how this comes together for all of you. And that's what's probably going to rule the day. Whoever tells me the story that I believe the most, it makes the most sense.
Interesting. Logic is what's going to dictate the winner. From Brent Pope, Executive VP, this all makes complete sense. See what we got. Stay tuned for point number three.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Taxes was waiting and wondering and worrying if you were ever going to get any money back. And then waiting, wondering, and worrying some more. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes as soon as today. An expert who gives your taxes their undivided attention as they work on your return, while you get real-time updates on their progress so you can focus on your day. An expert who will find you every deduction possible and file every form, every investment, everything with 100% accuracy. All so you can get the most money back guaranteed. No waiting, no wondering, no worries. Now this is Taxes. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three for Smog. And what we're going to talk about here is some of his feats, some of the things he's done. And I am going to bring it home, Brent Pope. I'm going to tell you the story of how this battle will actually go. Because one thing I mentioned is the subsonic speed. He is very, very fast, Smog is, in his flying. Devastator, I haven't seen as being particularly fast. He's a big hulking. He's giant. He's green. He's like the Hulk. But he's not particularly agile or fast. You said it yourself. The Dinobots knocked him over. He was trying to do wrestling moves right and left to them. And to be fair, it did work out in that particular example. But he isn't used to fighting somebody as fast who flies as Smog the Dragon. I mean, the thing that makes Devastator really impressive and great in the world of Transformers is the fact that like 98% of Autobots cannot fly, right? 98% of Autobots don't fly. The Decepticons are the ones who fly. And he doesn't really have to fight them because he's on their side. So you have this guy who can't fly himself, Devastator, just housing Bumblebee and Wheeljack and Jazz and Optimus Prime and the whole crew because they can't just fly away from him. It really makes a big difference thematically. But anyway, Smog has taken out an entire dwarf fortress. Look, that means he's just defeated an army, and the dwarves in Lord of the Rings are they don't mess around. Do we remember the devastation that Gimli put down on like those giant trolls and the orcs and the Uruk-hai and all that crew, and how Legolas and Gimli had that competition between who would kill, you know, more guys in the battle than the other, and they were keeping a count? Imagine fighting an entire army of Gimlis. I'll be honest, Devastator's great. I don't know if he could get through that with quite the ease that Smog the Dragon did. And the reason why is because Devastator is a one-man wrecking crew, sure. But he is single-minded and focused. You give him a target, you tell him who to attack, he runs at them full speed and tries to drop them with wrestling moves. Smog the Dragon is smart. He's way smarter. He's devious. He has plans. He knows exactly how to manipulate his opponent to get them doing what they want them to do. And not just that. Look, Smog took out the Dwarf Fortress. He took out the Lonely Mountain. He took out the City of Dale. He took out the other city I mentioned earlier. And even when Bilbo Baggins wore the One True Ring, Smog could still hear him and smell him, which means, remember, he's a magical, mystical creature beyond absolutely everything else. Important to keep in mind. We're not just talking about a monster. We're talking about a dragon, a magical creature. He also, Smog, has something called dragon talk. And what that means is that when he's speaking to somebody, and he loves to talk, as does Devastator, quite honestly, as he's speaking to somebody, if that person isn't skilled with language, if that person isn't aware of how dragons use their words to manipulate, in the example from The Hobbit, just by talking to them, he wasn't even necessarily trying, but he manipulated the group of dwarves into mistrusting each other. I'll talk to you in my final counterpoint about how that matters in this specific battle, but there's a point I'm going to sandbag to the very end because I'm like that. So at the end of the day, though, Devastator is a wrecking ball. He's going to go forward. He's going to hit the thing. Smog the Dragon is going to fly around. He's going to have lots of interesting ideas and battle plans. I really do see a situation where Devastator is just trying to shoot and trying to shoot, and he just can't get a beat off him because Smog is too fast. Smaug is too far away. Smaug is doing dive bombing runs, using the sun behind him as an advantage so Devastator can't see him because he'll be blinded by the not just the light of the sun, but the light of the fire as well, as Smaug is diving down on him. And not just that, he could also make Devastator think that he's in one place, like on a side of a mountain. Devastator runs over to the side of the mountain, and Smaug is just hanging out, coming around the other side to smash into him from behind. Definitely not going to put himself in harm's way, that's for sure. More likely another fire run. And eventually, Devastator's innards and insides are going to melt. At the end of the day, the hit-and-run tactics are going to work. Devastator can't get a hand on a flying, hyper-fast character, and that's my point number three.
Interesting stuff. I got to push back on some of it, of course. Look, Devastator has fought Omega Supreme, who is huge and can fly. So that's kind of one example right there. So this is not going to be a surprise when he's got plenty of experience with that. All the cities that Smaug attacked, the mountains and all that, none of them had close to Devastator's overall firepower, never mind Devastator's durability. So I just feel like, yeah, interesting accomplishments, but it's apples to oranges here. And Devastator fought the aerial bots on a number of occasions. The aerial bots were masters of hit and run and aerial maneuverability. So again, that's not something that Devastator hasn't encountered before. And in terms of trying to get Devastator to sway one way or another, good luck having Devastator taking long enough to listen to you to actually engage in a conversation or actually even kind of ingrain in your messaging. It doesn't work when Megatron tries. I don't think Smaug's going to have a lot of luck either, because Devastator is just going to be Hulk smashing his way forward with his kind of focus on everything. Now, with my point number three, let's talk about Devastator's big wins and some of Smaug's weaknesses. So the 80s Transformers cartoon, look, filled with great actions I just described, some questionable moments, even maybe some lapses in logic and coloring consistency, just a little pet peeve of mine. But that doesn't take away from any of the magic and sheer brutality this kid's show brought to the world. And Devastator got the benefit of that on many occasions, and as a result, also got some major wins. For example, he's taken out entire groups of Autobots in seconds in so many episodes. Literally, he would step on the battlefield, shoot a couple of times, they would get hit, they'd scatter. You know, look, I get it. Take out a group of an army of elves, that's fantastic. Take out the freaking Autobots, that's an accomplishment. On a number of occasions, Devastator's literally overpowered Optimus Prime and held him in his hand where he started to crush him. When you can hold Optimus Prime helpless in your hand, not only is that a big win, but you're officially one of the top badasses in all of geek culture. As I mentioned before, he's beaten the Dinobots a number of occasions. And just to keep this very clear, with the variety of Autobots that Devastator has fought, ranging from anything as little as Bumblebee to Omega Supreme and everything in between, see, this is the key to Devastator's ability. He can adapt. He can bring surprising elements to a battle, and there's going to be very little that Smaug brings that surprises him. If you were to look at him, you wouldn't be able to tell Devastator could fire optic blasts or hit you from 6 kilometers away with his rifle with insane blastery heat, or that he'd be resistant to heat, or somehow be able to use Bruce Lee-style kicks or pro wrestling moves, or this is a big one, to be able to split into 6 Constructicons who can all fly and who are all well-armed. Don't tell me Smaug is prepared for any of that, because he's not. Well, let's check out some key weaknesses of Smaug, shall we? Now, of course, we all know about Bard the Bowman's use of an arrow to kill Smaug by hitting him in a vulnerable patch, and that was something that was given to him in terms of information. And I'm not saying Devastator is going to find that vulnerable patch, although he does have that knack of finding the weak spot and whatever he's fighting. But what I am going to say is that there's a good chance that Devastator is going to hit him with so much freaking firepower and destructive capability that his scales will not encounter something like that before. They're going to shatter, something's going to break, and his weak spots are going to open up. Because Devastator's just not going to stop. Devastator's going to hit, blast him, smash and punch, Bruce Lee kick, whatever. Eventually, scales are breaking, if not sooner than later, and he's going to get through and get that. And look, one arrow going into a vulnerable spot with no scales kills Smaug. You're telling me Devastator, with all his stuff, can't do the same thing? Of course he can. Now, also, fun fact about Smaug, he suffers from what is referred to as a dragon's pride. That means he thinks he's too powerful to be beaten, which means he's arrogant, overconfident, wide open to getting hit, and will be completely unprepared for fighting Devastator. But the real weakness of Smaug is that there's no direct indication that Smaug ever battled another dragon or some same level powered creature, like as in ever. He was always the biggest and toughest kid on the block, which means he has no experience in a real fight. Look, he's like a race to Kana. Sorry, Ray, I got thrown in the bus for a second. Ray shows up at Burger King, all scary-like, as a big dude, starts intimidating everyone who's there, and just walks up to people, grabs their food, starts eating, and says, "What are you going to do about it?" And Ray keeps getting away with it and eating everyone's food until Lo and behold, James Gavsy shows up, and all of a sudden, Ray's not that big and scary anymore, and that's exactly what this battle is like. Now, follow my logic. If Smaug never fought someone in similar power to him, but still got hurt enough to where he permanently lost scales, what would happen when he fights Devastator, who has dealt with beings way more powerful than Smaug on a freaking day-to-day basis? Never mind the fact that Smaug has fought and beaten, Devastator has fought and beaten the Dinobots, as in all of them, who have way more firepower, durability, and maneuverability and capability than Smaug. In the end, look, Devastator is too powerful, too experienced for Smaug to handle. At best, he's retreating and leaving the field of battle, and at worst, well, Ray will get to enjoy the new Smaug burger available at your local Burger King. All of that's my point number three.
I would totally eat the new Smaug burger.
It'd be great,
hook
right?
Me up with
be amazing.
That right there.
A little scaly.
Look, it's, I don't talk about Burger King, but I once fought an Omega Supreme at a Taco Bell, and I won that battle, although I would consider it a Pyrrhic victory, if you know what I'm saying. I watched the battle of Omega Supreme versus Devastator, James. Uh-oh, I actually watched it, so I was prepared for you to make this point. The way you described it is Devastator beat Omega Supreme in a battle. But I watched the fight. It was 3 minutes long. Omega Supreme shows up, trash talks Devastator, who forms the six Constructicons, form Devastator. All Omega Supreme does, he runs over before Devastator can react, picks him up and body throws him into a mountain, and then blasts the mountain down rubble on top of him until Optimus Prime runs up and says, "Please stop." And then Devastator runs away. That was the fight. And you bring it up, his fight against Omega Supreme, as if it's some big impressive feat. He got his butt handed to him in that battle. And according to Hasbro Transformers Collectors Club issue number 42 from 2011, Devastator was constructed using borrowed technology and with considerable haste. Therefore, the bond between the individual minds from which he is composed is not as strong mentally or physically as that of his predecessor, Bruticus. Enough force aimed at the proper targets could cause the giant to disassemble and fall apart like he was a cheap toy from the 80s. So a lot of the time with these robots, they work together in unison, but because their mental bonds are weak because it was bad, they were badly made. Think about what I said about the dragon talk. If Smaug is talking, you're going to take an already not great functioning set of minds working together poorly, and you're going to make them work together even worse. And what happens finally when Devastator takes that big hit and he breaks down into pieces? Those six Constructicons will mistrust each other. They will not fight as a team, and six smaller robots get devastated, I'll say it, by Smaug the dragon. All of this wraps up together to show a big victory for Smaug. That's all I have to say about that.
All right, look, Brett, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision, but before we get to what Brent has to say, let's celebrate the Hoodwin Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Hoodwin Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we have a patron. We have a one. I don't think we may have done him before, but it's been a long time if we have. He's in our special video watcher segment on the Patreon, which is a little bit less than a full membership, but you get to watch all the videos. We try to put out like 4 or 5 more videos a week on our Patreon of behind the scenes, our Thunderdome segments, our Third Degrees, and a lot of outtakes that don't make the show. The really saucy stuff ends up on Patreon. I'll say that. You can go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. James will tell you about that later. But we're talking about the man, the myth, the legend known as Chosen with a Z.
Ooh, Chosen's kind of good. I don't know of any single opponent I can give Chosen, so yeah, screw that. Let's have Chosen go up against an army of orcs from the Lord of the Rings universe.
That's pretty great. Now, an army of orcs, these are basically the OG stormtroopers, as they are known, because they have a lot of weapons. They're big, strong, in theory, they're well-trained, and they have all those ranged weapons and close weapons, and they're big and strong. But the thing is, they can't hit anything at all. If you that was one of my biggest complaints of the first Lord of the Rings movie when I saw it in theaters. I'll tell you right now, spoiler alert, I did not like the first Lord of the Rings movie, Fellowship of the Ring, when I saw it in theaters. I didn't think it was very good at all. I have my own thoughts on it. Maybe I'll talk about those on a Patreon later. But those orcs, one of my biggest complaints, they fired thousands and tens of thousands of arrows at a group of what? Like 13 people, whatever it is. And they never seem to hit a single one, except that one time that Lurtz shot Boromir from like 1 inch away from his face. I'm just saying, that many arrows should have hit something, even if you're the worst shot in the entire world. Rant over. Chosen wins, and I'll tell you how. He just walks through the litany of arrows and just gets right up in their faces, pulls out his magic sword, whacks them all down, and says, "I am the chosen one. I did it." Sheathes the sword, laughs at how they could not hit him with the arrows. GGEZ, Chosen takes the win.
Holy red shirt Star Trek syndrome, Batman. All right, well done, Chosen. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. All right, Brent, look, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process, tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Smaug and Devastator.
All right, great arguments by both of you. I got to say, I was pretty impressed. Didn't know really anything about Devastator. Knew about Smaug, but, you know, had forgotten a lot of the important statistics and history of him. So, well done bringing all of that to life and giving me a lot of stuff to talk about. First thing I want to say is that I think James, one thing that James said struck me is, like, you know, these dragons, especially these elder dragons, like Smaug, they can be arrogant. So I'm going to say that what happens first in this battle is Smaug sees this something that he's never really seen before. He doesn't know what robots are. So he comes down, is like, I'm just going to smack this dude around. He looks like he's shooting some lasers at me. That's fine. And it gets surprised right away. Devastator shoots him with that energy rifle, maybe loosens a couple of the scales, starts trying to get him with that forearm drill. Maybe he does a little damage on some of the scales, and maybe he pokes him a little bit with the drill. And Smaug, we already said, he's arrogant, but also, he's not stupid. In fact, he's very cunning. And once he starts getting some damage on him, he's like, I'm out of here. I guess I underestimated this dude. I don't know where he's from. He's not from my neighborhood, though. And he decides to go up way up high in the sky where it's much harder for Devastator to reach him, and just starts unloading with the fire bombs. And the dragon talk where he's really trying to, he's smart enough to see that, oh, this is like one being, but it looks like it's like a honeycomb, like a beehive. There's a bunch of them together. So he starts doing that. And, you know, Devastator is doing a good job, though, still shooting up, and but again, Smaug is much faster than him. But from what I've learned in the battle, he's much faster. So he's kind of going around dive bombing. And eventually, like we said, unfortunately, those joints aren't as strong mentally or as, you know, physically as strong. And they burst apart, and he's been using the dragon talk on them, and they probably don't trust each other. So they're trying to fight on their own. And I tell you what, six people fighting on their own against Smaug, that ain't good. So Smaug takes them all out, and he doesn't just, like, you know, get them to run away. I mean, he melts them all into oblivion. And probably scoops them up and adds them to his pile of gold as this shiny metal, that a type of metal that he's never seen before, to his gold pile. And the winner here, James, you did a great job, but the winner is Smaug.
Wait, Brimpo, did I forget to mention that Devastator put a brontosaurus into a backbreaker?
It's one of the greatest things I've ever heard, James.
Look, I will say right now, if somebody I'm repping has punched a dinosaur in a comic, I will mention it 100% of the time. I have to step my game up in season 7 and find something that beats a backbreaker, because that's pretty phenomenal.
I got to tell you, you know, Brent Pope, the way you explain it too, the speed's definitely the big factor here, because I do think Smaug would take a lot of punishment, but you're right. He would take a lot of punishment at first, and then he'd say, got it. I haven't faced this before. I'm smart enough to kind of understand what to do. And Devastator's big, big weakness, it's not that he's got weaker joints, can fall apart. That's a big issue too, by the way. It's that he just doesn't have the speed. He's got accuracy, but he doesn't have the speed to keep up with, like, insanely faster opponents. And Smaug, despite his size, but he's got that speed with that maneuverability. I can see him, you know, doing really well against Devastator that way, unless he got in very close, with which there's the Bruce Lee sidekick to double Captain Kirk axe handle to the backbreaker. And who knows if Smaug can resist a backbreaker. He'd probably tap out from that. But I am not upset by this decision whatsoever. I think it was one of the funnest battles we've had in a long time. What a great way to open up season 7 of the Who Would Win show. Congratulations to Race to Canis. Ray, tell Legion of Audience how you're feeling right now.
I feel pretty good right now. Look, I'm coming off of a very hectic holiday season. I mentioned to everybody on the team that I am dragging my last butt trying to make my way through this battle and get back to a sense of normalcy, if that's going to be possible in the year 2025. I'm very excited because when I first got Smog in this matchup, my first thought, like a lot of the people in the Facebook group, honestly, was like, Devastator is real rough. What can I find that can helpfully give Smog even a chance, if not an edge? And as I started breaking it down, I thought the size difference was huge. I thought that the intelligence difference was huge. And I thought that the fire attack, at first I didn't think it would do a lot, but then as I started looking into the fact that, like, Transformers have heat sinks and ways to disperse and deal with heat, that means that heat can be a problem for them, which means that the extra hot fire of Smog was, in fact, a legitimate attack coming in on him. And then the Dragon Talk and other stuff, I think this thing really came together for me in point number three. And honestly, I deserve it. I'm great. I've lost to James too many times in a row. I don't know exactly how that's possible. I had a big lead going into the month of December of season six, and then just the wheels fell all the way off the wagon, and somehow the judges in those last battles, not me, of course, the judges in those battles pooped the bed, and I'm not thrilled about it. But you know what? For the first time in the history of the Who Would Win show, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to mean it. Great job, Brent Pope. Way to listen to what I said and then respond to it intelligently. I'm in as much shock as anybody else.
Wow. The what is happening already in season seven is unprecedented. This is absolutely crazy. Look, Brent Pope, it is always amazing to have you on the show. Whether we ask you to come on the show or whether you just tell us you're coming on the show, either way works for us. Please come back. Until that happens, tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
All right, online you can find me. I'm mostly on Instagram, I'll be honest. Most of the other places, I'm just not there that much anymore. It's Brentfist. You can go to brentpope.com. You can find all my TV appearances on there. You can find my podcast, Brentfist with Brent Pope, on there as well. You guys have both been on there. Delvin Cox has been on there. Many great people have been on the show. You can find me on season two of With Love on Prime. A lot of people have been watching that over the holidays. It's a holiday type show. And I'm assuming you're going to find me once again very soon on the Delvin Cox Experience. Oh,
you guys have a lot to work out. You guys have a lot to work out. I would like to listen to that.
Another podcast I've been working on a lot lately is a very fun improv podcast called San Antonio Public Library Rocks. And, check that one out if you get a chance. I've found about four or five episodes of that. But yeah, great job. It's 2025. Ray is giving me compliments and I feel dirty.
Wow. All right, Ray Cicadas, great job on the first win of season seven, the Who Would Win show. Tell Legion of Audience, our listeners, where they can find you.
Of course, you can find me on Threads, the only social media site. I'm trying to use the Instagram a little bit more. You can find me on there, both places at AlmightyRay316. Really, I want to use this segment not to talk about myself. I don't want to talk about Brent Pope or, quite honestly, this show anymore. What I'd like to talk about is the grit, the heart, and the determination of a group of athletes known collectively as the 2024-2025 Detroit Lions.
Here we go.
The greatest collection of talent in NFL history. As we record this, 14-2, about to be 15-2, the one seed, the future and inevitable Super Bowl champions. I'm worried that this much greatness and this much joy from my chosen number one overall team of all time is going to result in a really awful 2025 for everyone else. It's like that Thanos line where, you know, you got what you wanted. What did it cost you? Everything. I'm worried about losing everything in 2025, but if the Lions win the Super Bowl, it will all have been worth it. I think, for me at least.
I think we
find
can all agree
on Threads at AlmightyRay316. Look for Lions commentary there, and probably not much else.
Fair. All right, you can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavs. You remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcast. On behalf of myself, Race to Canis, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
this is Ray back one more time, and there is a 1 in 2 chance that I'm very happy with the results of this past episode. One more reminder that if you'd like to join in with the Legion of Audience, you can go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and support what we do. That's it. That's the message. Time to start my research on next week's battle. I'll see you there.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sup, everyone. Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.